Before we look at God's word this evening, what I would like to do is to ask you all, just for 1 minute, 30 seconds, just to close your eyes in prayer and think of one person, family, friend, relative, the person sitting next to you, somebody you work with. Just think of one person and just pray for him or her. Pray for their soul if they're not believers. Just you do that. 30 seconds. Just quietly. Amen. That person you've just prayed for just now, whoever that might be, if they're not a believer, then believe me, their end is going to be so terrible according to the word of God. We just read Psalm 73, which is a beautiful psalm. The writer says, yes, God is good to his people. He's very good to his people. But as for me, when I thought about the people who are prosperous, they have everything. He said, when I saw that, my feet started to stumble, slip. Because I was envious of those people. Because they are prosperous. But you know something? Do not be envious of those people. Because you know why? They are without understanding. And a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge of God's word, destroys people. These people are in the darkness because they can avoid a lot of what is going to happen to them just by believing. But that is one thing that people do not want to do. David says here, he lists out that these people are so prosperous that it makes him envious that here's me living a godly life by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, and I'm going through trials and tribulations as believers do. And yet these people, they are prosperous. They lack for nothing. Their eyes are bulging. They don't have lack for anything at all. And you know what they say? God? Who God? You see, is there a God up there? These are the very people who have a lack of understanding. Not only that, these people are condemned. Because when David saw what was happening, he said that I was perplexed. And verse 16 says that when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. So when I tried to understand what was happening around me, it was troublesome in my sight. He was troubled in his spirit. When we think about our loved ones, when we think about the ones who have sat here in church next to us, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, they've heard the word, but nothing has happened to them, nothing at all. There is nothing that is happening to them at all. And we think, you know, what is it? What's happening here? Why is there no spiritual fruit in these people? David said that it was troublesome in my sight. Does it grieve us? Are we troubled in our sight? Are we troubled? Are we grieved when we see our loved ones who we pray for, and yet nothing happens, they don't come to the Lord? And we pray for them earnestly, and nothing happens. But David said he was grieved until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. He says, until I came into the house of the Lord. Then he perceived their end. Now, for somebody, for us believers, sometimes if we are upset about something, or our heart is troubled and burdened by something, what happens? We come to church, or we bring all our thoughts and our attentions and our everything. We come to church and we sit down, and then we hear the sound of singing. A psalm is being sung, and that touches us. Or the word that is shared on that particular time. Or maybe just the fellowship which is there. And our troubles seem so light that they just go away by surrounding ourselves with people, by God's people. The psalmist says that he was perplexed, he was troubled, until he went to the house of God. Then he understood their end. It is only by divine wisdom that one is able to understand how God works in his mysterious, infinite ways. Because when we think about ourselves, when we think about the fact that somebody shared with us the word, and when that word entered our ears, entered our heart, something happened. And that veil was lifted from our eyes, from our heart, from our mind. The veil was lifted. But then when we pray for our loved ones, we see that veil is still there for them. Nothing happens to them. Such was David's plight when he said, until he came to the sanctuary, and then I perceived their end. The end for a sinner, we all know, is separation from God for eternity. But when we pray for somebody, when we pray for our loved ones, and there seems to be no change at all whatsoever, and then time goes on, they say, yes, today, tomorrow, next year, time carries on. How long have we been praying for our children, for our family members? How long have we been praying for each and every one of them? Parents, with a heavy heart, we pray for our loved ones. Because we understand, just like David understood, he said that they are on a slippery slope. The gateway, the pathway to hell is very smooth. So smooth, in fact, that people slip on it as they're going. But they don't see the slipperiness. They don't see that their actions have a consequence. And the consequence of their actions is either they enter the kingdom or they don't. When people talk about death, physical death, the worldly people, I mean, they normally say, oh, he passed away peacefully, quietly. Oh, he fell asleep like a child. Look at him, man, so peaceful. He must be a saint, you know, he's got such a calm look on his face. The agony of death for a person who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not know where he's going, is far from smooth. And this is what David was trying to say to the people. This is what he writes in all of the Psalms, is that these people, they might look prosperous now. They might have everything that they might desire now. But what is their end? Where are they headed for? Because when these people, when they die, before they close their eyes, the look on their faces, because we don't know if they have confessed or they haven't confessed. And this is a big thing. This is a big thing. People say that, oh, my grandparents, my children have said it, our grandparents, they were believers, my parents are believers, so automatically it should give us an inheritance right to be saved, but it's not. The same hands that were crucified, the same hands with the nail prints in, which were where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins, are the same hands that will turn the pages of the book of life and say to the people, either go to heaven because, oh, good and faithful servant, or they will say, go to hell because you did not believe. And how hard is it for somebody to pass from this world into life itself, life eternal? The word says, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. We have to just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accept the Lord Jesus Christ's work on the cross, accept the fact that I am a sinner. You don't have to move mountains. You don't have to do any big thing as such. All you have to do is just believe and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. That is it. But for some people, that is not it. They think, no, 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 it can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. They are so busy in accumulating for themselves. You talk to anybody, they haven't got the time. Well, I haven't got the time, you know. I've got work to do. I've got my barns to fill. I've got my estate to make up. I have to look after my children, my inheritance. I've got a lot to do. I haven't got the time yet. But yet, these are the same people who, when they are faced with the question, where are you going when you die? After you die, where are you going? And they don't know. They might think they know, but they don't know. Because the preacher, our pastor, the preacher, he stands here every Sunday, every meeting, sharing the same word about repentance. Every message that he shared, even tonight, every message that he shared, at the end of every message goes out the call that if anybody here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, come to him and be saved. That call goes out to every single person every time. If somebody hears and they do not believe, then their blood is on their head and not the preacher's head. But the preacher is guilty, is innocent of that. But David here is saying, he said, when I came to the sanctuary, then I perceived the end. Surely thou dost set them on slippery places, thou dost cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment, they are utterly swept away. The destruction of the wicked, because they're on a slippery path, is like that of somebody who is just hanging on to a cliff by the edge, on the edge. And any time he can fall away. That is the plight for some people, and yet they fail to recognize it. Because the day that they hear the word and they reject the word, they don't have to openly say it with their mouth to reject it. Just by having a hard heart, just by not listening, just by not doing anything, is enough of a negativity to say, I don't believe. When David is looking upon these people, when David is saying that these are the very people who are the ones who are enjoying their life, they're just carrying on as though they're oblivious to what is happening, and yet when the time of repentance is come, and he goes, as the word says, that the doors of repentance, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not remain open forever, because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes with a shout, then the time will be over. It'll be too late for those people. But sometimes we don't give that sense of urgency to that. Yes, we do pray for our loved ones. We do pray for those who do not believe. But yet, that vigor that should be there is not there. I think sometimes, you know, we have to remind ourselves, because when somebody says, oh, I'll come to the Lord at a convenient time, it's not convenient for me yet, I've still got my life to live yet. I've still got so many things to do in my lifetime. But yet, life is a fleeting thing. Time just goes by so quickly. We just heard now, Brother Mahendra, it's been 4 years since he passed away, 4 years. And it just seems like yesterday. 4 years have gone. And our brother was faithful in his witnessing as well. He was fearless when he used to take the word out, and he used to share the gospel with people. He used to tell people. And he was fearless. And you know something? We are getting older as well, every single one of us. When I think to myself, how long have I been praying for my children? For my son and daughter, for my grandchildren. How long have I been praying for my children? And what is happening? They know, but they don't believe. And unless we are very firm and very strict and very to the point and say to them directly that, seriously, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you yourself, if you do not repent of your sins yourself, you and your sins, right, you are going to hell. End of. And sometimes people are afraid to say that because they don't want to upset anybody. Better to upset somebody and tell them exactly as it is than to have their blood on your hands. Because when the day of reckoning comes, we will be held to account. What have I done? What have I said? How many diamonds, how many gems have I placed in the crown of Christ? Meaning, how many people have we brought to the Lord? How many people have repented? We will be held to account. Mark my words, everybody will. But sometimes what happens is that we are too relaxed. We're too relaxed in our endeavors. And we find that sense of urgency, we should be there, is not there. It just becomes a byword. Because sometimes people hear the gospel so many times, they sit here and they hear the word so many times, over and over and over and over and over again. And what happens? It just goes over the head. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. They can hear, but they don't hear. They can see what they don't see. And just time just goes, and their heart gets harder. But God's word is like the hammer that shatters the rock. God has his own time for people when they will come to the Lord, when they will believe. But sometimes we find that when the word goes out in its strictest form or in a gentle way, this is where God the Holy Spirit leads the person who's sharing, how the word is being shared, whether straightforward out or in a calm, natural manner. Because different things work for different people. But no one can say to the pastor that you was unfaithful to me, that you did not tell me the word in the right manner. Nobody can say that. Because when the word goes out from the pulpit, if you imagine in the assembly, so many people sitting there, the word goes out, and yet some people, it has no effect on them at all. They all hear the same, the sound is going out, everybody hears the same, but it does not have an effect on them at all. Nothing happens to them. Why is that? Why is that? That some people, they prosper in the word, and they carry on and they do wonderful works for God. They bring people to the Lord. And yet some people, they just come and they go and their life is just so dull. Why does that happen? This is where we have to come before the Lord time and time again and pray to God. Because once we understand the plight of the sinner, where he is going, that should give us a stronger motivation. It should give us a stronger thinking to pray intensely, pray harder for them, not only for our family. We are all the family of Christ. This is why when we say to the brothers and sisters, come on a Wednesday meeting for the prayer meeting, come on a Wednesday. But we know the same faithful few come and the others don't. That is where is in the prayer meeting where we pray for souls, that souls are converted. There has to be a sense of urgency for that. And I feel that we all stand corrected in that area where we don't have that sense of urgency, where we don't have that desire to pray earnestly. Because prayer can move mountains. If your faith is like the mustard seed and you say to that mountain, get up from here and go into the sea, that's the example the Lord Jesus Christ gave. It can happen. Meaning, our prayers should be earnest and our prayer should be from the heart. But when David understood the plight of the sinner, then he is filled with praise. For somebody who is dejected, he's lost heart, he's saying, I do everything according to God's word. And yet, these people, sinners, they're flourishing. Look at them. Lord, why is that? When he came to the house of God, he understood. Then that animosity or that thought, his negative thoughts, they were transformed. When you come to church, our thoughts get transformed. That's why it's important to come to church. Not as a ritual, not as a, oh, I have to go to church. No, I didn't come to church this morning. Believe me, I felt it. I just felt, you know, I should be there. But I knew I was coming this evening. When our thoughts are transformed by hearing the word of God, by hearing the preaching, by hearing the songs or the reading of the word or the just fellowship itself, then what happens? Then he is filled and he says, verse 25, who have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. He said, Lord, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For those who are far away from thee will perish, and Yahweh has destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. He says, Lord, you are my portion. You are my heart's desire. You are my strength. These people, they will perish. And you know, it is not God's will. It is not God's will that any should perish. Any. Imagine your son, your daughter, your grandchild, your sibling, those people who you have loved like anything. You know, they're part of you. Imagine those people, that very person who you prayed for just now when we started the meeting, the sharing. Who was it? Who was it you prayed for? That person must have been very close to you. That's why you thought about that person and you prayed for them. Yes? Yes? Yes, no? Yes. That person must be very close to you. That's why that came to your mind. Oh, that person. Now imagine that very same person and you standing before the throne of God. And the pages are being opened. The same hands with the pierced nails, the pierced hands, those same pages are now flicking the pages. The same hands are flicking those pages. But that person, his name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. God only says two things. Go away or enter into my kingdom. Go to hell or go into heaven. Only two things. And then the Lord will ask you, did you not tell them? Did you not care for them enough to save them? Some wish to live within the sound of church or chapel bells. But I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. One of the God servants said that. He said, I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Even from a yard of hell, I want to drag people away back from. He said, don't go there, come back. And yet, sometimes we just say, it's okay. That very person who you thought about, who you prayed for, now you just imagine, right? That person, they die in their sin. It's not a nice thought. When I think about my children or my grandchildren, not a nice thought. Well, it's a damning thought. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to realize that for God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like 1 year, or one day. And when these people, or anybody who gets sent to hell because of their rejection of the Savior's grace and mercy and love, for them, even suffering of 10,000 years will like to be one day, and then they will carry on after that. There is no end in that. Pastors don't use scare tactics. It's the truth. The Word of God tells us. The last verse, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. The psalmist says, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. The closer I am to God, the closer God is to me, that is my good. I have made God my refuge. If you can say that God is my refuge, and I've taken my strength, I've hid myself in the refuge. But it doesn't say that God is my refuge and that's it. He says, that I may tell of all thy works. Our job is to tell people of all of God's works. The salvation, everything. Because unlike other religions, they say you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to do that. And they still don't know what's going to happen. For us, for the Christian, it is trust Jesus Christ with your soul and he will save you. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convert heart, to change hearts. In closing, what I would like to say is that we all have in our families those who have not believed, those who have heard the word and they have not believed. And sometimes we feel, you know something? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do that can possibly make them realize of their state where they are? And sometimes we just don't know the answer. We just think, God, I've been praying for this person for so many years. He hasn't stopped drinking. She hasn't stopped going her way. They haven't stopped doing this. They haven't done this. They haven't done that. And we say, Lord, you know something? They're on a slippery slope. They're on a slippery slope. They don't realize the danger that they are in. They don't realize that their life is like a vapor. It can go, it can just rise any time. They don't realize. How do you know that we're going to go to sleep tonight and we're going to wake up in the morning? Does anybody know that? No. Last Wednesday night, I was gasping for breath when I had my spray. You know something? It shook me. Because I thought, you know something, I can't breathe properly. You know, when you get to know somebody so intimately, like we do here, like in the assembly, everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody, and everybody loves everybody. I hope so. But we don't know the real person inside. When somebody comes here, they hear the gospel, we don't know the real person inside. Are they saved or are they not saved? A person can think that he's saved, but he's not. And those who are saved, yes, they are by the grace of God. Praise God for that. But then the other people who are blatantly outright, they're not saved. You know, a family looks after one another. A family cares for one another. A family cries with one another. A family laughs with one another. A family does everything together. We are a family. We are God's family. And thank God that we are weak and God is strong. That song we sing, which is a beautiful song, and I love these few verses, where the singer says, "Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." Lord, I fly to the fountain. The fountain being the blood of Emmanuel's veins. Foul I to the fountain fly. We can only fly to the fountain. And then he says, "Wash me, Savior, or I die." Lord, unless you save me, unless you save my loved ones, Lord, unless you wash me, I will die. Physical, spiritual death. Let our prayers be for that person who you prayed just earlier on when we started before we started sharing, that one person who was in your heart. Pray for that one person, Lord. Bring him to that fountain. Bring him to the fountain of grace. Let him immerse himself in the blood of Emmanuel. Let him come to the fountain, Lord. Wash him, Savior, lest he die. Not a physical death, but a spiritual death. Because the worst death is the separation of man from God forever and ever. I pray that in my humble, feeble words, I've been able to somehow share with you that don't envy the sinner as they prosper. Don't envy them because they're to be pitied. Let us pray for them, and let us pray that God will do a work this year. God will use us this year to bring people to the Lord. And you know, let us bring the gems and put them into the crown of Christ. Let's bring people this Easter, when we have our Easter meetings. Bring somebody, one person, even one person, your family member. Say, come on, let's go. This is the real meaning of Easter. Bring people, because you never know where, when, how. One word shared by our pastor or anybody who might be sharing on that day, you never know which one word that will be that is being shared by the power of God the Holy Spirit can penetrate that heart at that time, and that person can, their eyes are opened and they say, you know something, before I couldn't see, but because I've come to God's sanctuary, I can see now, and that one life is transformed. And just by you bringing that one person, you've saved one sinner from going to hell. May the Lord bless you. Amen.